But when you're 87 years old and you can go someplace, you're just excited to be there. So I'm only 87, so I'm excited to be here. So hang on with us. Here we go. What about last week? Did you folks, anybody have a witness and an experience that you'd like to share with the group? Did anybody witness to anybody last week that you'd like to share? Okay. Good. I'm sorry. Yeah, share with us.
That's all right. There was a, I was on a, getting ready to board a plane, and there was a lady in distress, and it looked like she was crying, and she's really kind of like knelt down right by where you turn your boarding pass in to get on the plane. I could see she was in severe distress, and I prayed on the plane, and then when we were walking off the plane, the Lord afforded me an opportunity to pray with her and her family.
Oh, that's neat.
And then we ran into each other again at baggage claim. You can't get away from the Lord. And what happened was she was grieving about a family member. Grieving. And she even showed me the urn. And the urn had an elephant on it. And she told me a little story about that. So I was able to share with her and I was able to pray with the family, and it's amazing what the Lord can do if I get out of the way.
and you received a blessing for doing it, didn't you? You felt good about it.
I'm still receiving the blessing when I think about it, and her name is Shannon, and she was with her husband, and there was a grandma, I can't remember if it was Shannon's mom or not, but the lady's name is Shannon, and she was grieving, and so if we can pray for Shannon and her family, for wherever there's a need for salvation in that family, and also healing.
That's a neat story. Just think what took place here. He was ready when his opportunity came around, and there's no telling what will take place as a result of it. There's not any telling. Let's pray for Shannon right now. But will you pray for Shannon, lady, if you would, please? Okay.
Father, Lord, we just thank you today, my God, his boldness and witness, Lord. We just ask you to be with Shannon and her family, Lord, to take care of the situation, to bless her, Lord, bless her family,
thank
Lord,
you,
and take care of them, Lord. Be with them, take care of them, watch out, and bless them. We thank you, pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Good. Thanks for sharing it. That's...
Yes,
when we're ready... It's exciting what the Lord puts out in front of us like this. It really is. I would like for us to make some goals about sharing our faith. I'd like for us to at least to have one person that we pray for each week. One person. If we can get 20 people, in our group, or I'd like to have 100 people, but if we can get 20, one person a week, that's 52 people per person. If we had 20 people praying, that'd be 1,040 people that our church has shared with, and it's not any telling what takes place. There's not any telling. So if you would talk to TP, if you're willing to be one of the people that you would make an effort to pray for one person each week. You can pray for a whole lot more than one, but if you just pray for one each week, that'd be 52 for you for a year. And if we get 20 people signed up or more, 20 people would amount to 1,040 people that we'd be prayed for and talked to in 1 year's time. Isn't that a neat thought? So if you're willing to do that CTP, she said she'd be glad to make a list of it and kind of keep up with it. Make an effort if you can to do this. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. I want to read it to us. It says, It is same with my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. When we share God's word, He says, the Lord says, I'm going to take care of it, and I'll make it prosper. So just think, if we get 1,000 people, Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11.
Who is
TP? I thought everybody knew. Okay. That's a good question. Okay. But if you would see TP, yeah. Oh boy, that's good. Okay. I've talked with Pastor Cal about this process of each one at least sharing with one person a week. He likes it very much. He said that he would help us and encourage us as we go along each week, just remind us that we have made this commitment, and He will encourage us and help us as we go along. So how you come in on your testimony, writing it down, are you doing okay with it? So. And you don't have to, if you can share your testimony with a person, they can't argue with you about that, because it's something that's happened to you and is really special. But if you can't do that, give the little four law booklets. We have a bunch of the little four law booklets. These little booklets have about 14 Bible verses in it, and it's very effective. It will help you in sharing your faith. Did everybody get one of these little fellows? Oh, me. Okay. Would you help pass these out, please? Be sure to be familiar with the little four-law booklet. It's very effective. Each time we have a witness in experience, we have had a successful witness. When you share God's word with people, you've had a success, because Isaiah chapter 55, it says, my word will not return void. I'll have it to do what it says it'll do. It's really a powerful verse. It said, it will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper wherever I send it. That's special. And 1,000 people doing this, 1,000 folks contacted. That's exciting. This is where prayer is so important, and we are sharing our faith. We talked about making you a prayer list of people that do not know Jesus. Write their names down, put it in your pocket, pocketbook, mirror on the wall, something where you'll see it, be familiar with it. And each day, look at this prayer list, pray for the people. It's amazing what takes place. I shared a story about this man in Texas. He prayed for his daddy 40 years. 40 years. And right before his father passed away, he became a believer. So it might not happen today when you start praying for him, but prayer is so important in this process of sharing your faith. And then this story he just shared with us, the people we just happened to bump into, the Lord orchestrates. This lady that you saw, and you were willing to do this, and we need to be ready when we have the opportunity to do this. So these opportunities just, there they are right in front of you, and you wasn't even planning on sharing your faith at all. But if we are ready with a little four-law booklet or with your personal testimony or do what he did, just pray with them. It's rich, and we don't know what's going to develop. When we get to heaven, we'll know, won't we?
It's a blessing to me.
Yes, 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 yes. It really is, and you feel like you've done what the Lord wanted you to do. So that's rich. That's good. But these just bump in people that we will bump into. That it's the Lord orchestrates it. So we need to be ready for that anytime. In Montgomery County, there's 240,000 people live in Montgomery County. It's said that in the state of Tennessee, 85% do not attend church. 85%. So 85% of 240,000, that means there are 204,000 people in Montgomery County that are not church members or attend church. 204,000. So there are a lot of people out there that need what happened to this, your deal. That you just happened to bump into. But 204,000. Clarksville, Tennessee is the fastest growing city in Tennessee. A lot of people come into Clarksville. I read one place that 6,000 maybe a year new people come into Clarksville, Tennessee. And Clarksville is in the top 25 in the whole United States of cities that are growing fast. They are in the top 25 in the United States, Clarksville is. So we have a lot of prospects out that we can share with. So we'll be really obeying Jesus when we talk to somebody like this gentleman here did. In Matthew chapter 28, let's look and see what it says and read from God's Word. Matthew chapter 28. This is Jesus talking. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Jesus came out and told his disciples, "I've been given all authority in heaven and earth. Therefore, go." Look at that word, underline that word, go. "Go and make disciples in all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. So the Lord was with you when you were sharing with that lady, and that's the way the Holy Spirit works out. And then Mark also shared about the same story of Jesus talking about the importance of sharing what took place with him in chapter 16 of Mark, verse 15. And he says this, this is Jesus talking now, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone." We could stop there and say that's it, guys. This is it. "Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name, and they will speak in new languages." So Matthew and Mark both use the Great Commission verses, instructing us to go. I talked to, Pastor Cal about everybody doing one a week. Same story about Brother Cal's life. He had a big church in Waynesboro. They was really taken care of. I went down and visited him one time, went to Sunday service. When he drove up in the car, in his car on the premises, people just gathered around just taking care of him. He had a great position in his church. Great church. The Lord got a hold of him, and he wanted to come back to Clarksville and to witness to people in Clarksville. And he and his family moved back, and here we are here. And he's a special anointed person, I think. So we would be obeying Brother Cal, too, for us to witness to one person each week, at least one person. You might get a whole family like he did. So that would be your numbers would go up. But the main thing, we're following Jesus' instructions to go tell. Go tell. And we're following our pastor's instructions to go tell. So we're doing good. 1 John 1:9 has been a special verse for me. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all of our unrighteousness." I need to tell you a story. When I was in high school, Montgomery Central, I was a junior in high school, our class had a Halloween. They had a Halloween carnival at school. Our class had this little booth. You'd throw darts and hit balloons. Well, I worked in the booth for a little while, and we'd take turns working in the booth. And while I was there, I took a quarter out of the box and put it in my pocket. And I went down to the next booth or two, and I threw three baseballs trying to get somebody dunked in the water. That's what I did with my quarter. The story gets better. Oh, boy. I led the music at Spring Creek Baptist Church 10 years. And I was up there directing the music and singing. We had a choir and a youth choir and all this. The principal at Montgomery Central moved in our community. He started attending our church. He sat on the very back row. I would look over and he'd be right back here. I was up there leading the singing, and all I could see was a quarter over his head. He didn't have a clue that I stole a quarter out of that box. But I did, and that's all I could think about. I was up there, you know, Jesus loves me, this I know, and all this. And I could see that quarter over his head. I think, oh, me. So that went on for a couple of months. So one Sunday, I finally got up enough nerve, and I told him, I met him in the hall. I said, here. And I told him a story. And I said, here's $10. I don't know what but this should be enough interest and everything to take care of that 25 cents I stole out of that box. He didn't know what to do with the $10. I said, well, give it to the church. I don't know. Just get it out of my mouth. Get it off of me. But I had to get rid of that. And when I finally talked to him and told him what the story and all that, I could lead to singing the next day, and I didn't see that quarter over there. But that quarter just like a neon light over his head. Doop, 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 doop. Say that to say this, that a little silly story, but it really happened. If you have any unconfessed sin in your life, 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9, you need to confess it and get rid of it and get it taken care of, whether it's a quarter or whatever it is, some relationship you messed up with or whatever. It could be a million things. You need to get it straightened out with between you and the Lord. So I hadn't been bothered with a quarter anymore. And then the next verse we need to, 1 John 1:9. I would really recommend last week or so we used a peach milkshake. You know, when you were sucking a milkshake and the piece of peach would get in the straw and the juice wouldn't go through the straw. That's what unconfessed sin does with our relationship. Not, it doesn't have anything to do with your salvation, but the relationship. Since my wife died, I started washing dishes at home. And I like to have a clean dish when I get ready to use the things at home now. If I hadn't got the eggs off or whatever plate I've used, the Lord looks at our unconfessed sin and the fellowship. It hinders your relationship with the Lord. You need to get it confessed. But you be a clean person that the Holy Spirit could work through your life. And the next verse, it leads into the next verse, is Ephesians 5:18. It says, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled. So you get rid of a sin. And then we ask the Holy Spirit to come into our hearts and our minds. He's already in our hearts and mind, but He fills us. And listen, the Greek, I don't know anything about Greek, but I read this out of a book. But it said this, the Greek interpretation of Ephesians 5:18, it says, be being continually filled. Let me read that again. Be being continually filled with the Spirit. So when we sin, we steal a quarter or whatever it might be, and we get that confessed, and then we ask the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 5:18, to fill us with His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what does the work, guys, when we witness. Dwight can't save anybody. None of us. You know, it's God's word. God's holy word is what does the work, and His Holy Spirit speaking. So this Ephesians 5:18, is a continuous being filled. When we sin and we get it confessed and we get that out of our system, ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, I'm just yours. Just use me, whatever I need to do. He does. And you'll be ready when you bump into somebody at the airplane. So you're ready to go when you've confessed your sins. You have the Holy Spirit in your life. He's there all the time. But when we're filled with, there's a bunch of scriptures, bunches of scriptures talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit. I used to think about somebody being filled with the Holy Spirit that they would be shouting, going up and down the hall, hollering and carrying on, speaking. That's not what it is. It's just being filled with God's Holy Spirit, part of the Godhead. And when we become a believer, He comes in and takes up residence in our hearts. And then when we confess our sins and have a clean heart, the Holy Spirit can come in and just do wonders at the airport. Amen. And we don't. And it's something we can't. You don't know where it's going to take place. But that's just the way it is. Make your prayer list. The opportunity to share with somebody. There's some scripture that I want us to read and talk about. Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. There's several verses here, but Jesus is sharing this story with His disciples. This is where this is coming from. This is Jesus talking. Listen to it. There was a certain rich man who was splendidly clothed in purple and fine linen, who lived each day in luxury. At his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, who was covered with sores. As Lazarus lay there longing for scraps from the rich man's table, the dogs would come and lick his sores. Finally, the poor man died and was carried by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried, and his soul went to the place of the dead. There in torment, listen to this now. There in torment, he saw Abraham in the far distance with Lazarus. Excuse me. The rich man shouted, "Father Abraham, have some pity. Send Lazarus over and dip." Listen to this. "Dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I'm in anguish in these flames." But Abraham said to him, "Son, remember that during your lifetime you had everything you wanted. Lazarus had nothing, so now he is here being comforted and you are in anguish. And besides, there's a great chasm separating us. No one can cross over to you from here, and no one can cross over from us to there." Then the rich man said, "Please, Father Abraham, at least send some to my father's home. I have five brothers I want to warn them so they won't end up in this place of torment." But Abraham said, "Moses and the prophets have warned them. Your brothers can read what they wrote." The rich man replied, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone is sent to them from the dead, then they will repent of their sins and turn to God." But Abraham said, "If they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, they won't listen to even if someone rises from the dead." Guys, if our names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, we go to a place of torment. It's called hell. Jesus told a story. This And evidently, they can you could see from hell into heaven, because he looked over and saw Lazarus, and he was drinking a milkshake, having a good time. This is the reason we witness, guys. If our names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, it says we go to hell. That sounds horrible, but that's what the book says. This is the reason we want you to talk to one person a week. Just think. If we could keep one person out of hell, all of our efforts would be rich. Just think. Just one. And this rich man, he said, I would just like for Lazarus to come and have one drop of water on my tongue because it's a mess down here. Think about our family members that we know that are not believers. And think about all of our friends that we know that are not believers. Think about the 204,000 people in Montgomery County, as far as we know, do not attend church. 85% of 240,000. If we could keep one person out of torment. Jesus shared this story. I didn't make this up. Jesus shared it. So it's true. There's a place, and he wanted, this rich man wanted just one drop of water on his tongue. Said it's bad. And this goes on forever, guys. It's forever. So it's, and in Revelation chapter 20, it goes on talking about this. Revelation chapter 20, it said, then the devil, Revelation 20 verses 10 through 15, listen. Then the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the fiery lake of burning sulfur, joining the beast and the false prophet. There they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, one sitting on it, and the earth and the sky was filled with his presence, but they found no place to hide. I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were open, including the book of life, and the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up its dead, and the dead in the grave gave up the dead, and they were all judged according to their deeds. The death and the grave were thrown into the lake of fire. This lake of fire is second death. Listen. And anyone whose names was not found recorded in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. Revelation 20. So what we're doing, guys, is so important. We're trying to keep people out of hell. I can't even begin to think about how hard it would be. We can talk about the weather. We can talk about the baseball games and the football games, and we don't have any trouble doing that. Here we go. It's difficult somehow to talk about the Lord, but it's so important. There's a life after we die. There's a life after we die. And we're going to spend eternity in one of the two places. And if we can, again, keep somebody from going to hell, isn't that something? So we need to talk It's not one person a week. We need to talk to 50 people a week if we could, you know. It's the importance of it. Now listen, chapter 21 in Revelation, this is what we want. Listen to this. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. Heard a loud shout from the throne saying, "Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them. They will be his people. God himself will be with them." Listen. "He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, nor pain. All these things are gone forever." That's where we want the people to go. That's heaven. There's going to never be any death, no undertakers. It's going to be a special place, and that's what we want to people to know and to find out about. That's what we. What's the reason we're doing what we're doing is to tell people how special it is. Verse 27 in chapter 21 is a great verse. Verse 27. In Revelation 21, listen, "Nothing evil will be allowed to enter, nor anyone who practices shameful idolatry or dishonesty. Listen, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be there." And in chapter 22, it goes on to talking about what's going to, heaven's going to be like. "And the angel showed me a river of with the water of life, clear as a crystal, flowing from the throne of God of the Lamb. It flowed down the center of the main street. Each side of the river grew a tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, with a fresh crop each month." I bet they have good peaches there, don't you? Ooh, my. "With a fresh crop each month. The leaves were used for medicine to heal the nations. No longer will there be a curse upon anything, for the throne of God and the Lamb will be there, and his servants will worship him, and they will see his face and his name written on their foreheads, and there will be no night there, no need for lamps or the sun, for the Lord God will shine on them, and they will reign forever and ever and ever and ever and ever." Then the angel said to me, listen to this. "Everything you have heard and seen is trustworthy and true. The Lord God, who inspired his prophets, has sent his angels to tell his servants what will happen soon." My, my, my. And verse 16, chapter 22, Revelation. "I, Jesus, have sent my angels to give you this message for the churches. I am both the source of David and the heir to his throne. I am the bright and morning star." This is what heaven's going to be like, guys. It's going to be a wonderful place worshiping. One of the things I like beautiful music. Chapter 5 in Revelation, it talks about this. The big choir singing around the throne. I want to carry my ukulele and I want to sing and join their choir. I bet it's going to be rich. Can you imagine? Wow. That'd be a good, you're talking about a choir, that's going to be a, I won't see any quarters or I won't have any quarters in, will I? Oh, golly, wow. Oh, this is our goal, guys. This is our goal. What we want to take place is when we talk to people about the Lord, we want them to enjoy what heaven's going to be like. It's going to be something else. My, my. All this information I'm telling you did not come from Fox News. It did not come from the Democrats, Republicans, or the Independents. It came from God's holy word. You can believe every word of it, guys. You can put your life on it. They say there are over 3,000 promises in the scripture. And God has never broken one. You can believe it. You don't have to question. You have so much stuff on the news now, you don't know whether what you're seeing is true or not. You can put your life, his teachings, you can put your life on it. So I would encourage you to talk to TP, whoever she is. We'll find out who TP is. We'll get a sign next Sunday and say, I'm TP. But if pray about it, and if you would join in and pray for one person, or speak to one person a week, it'd be 52 a year. It would get 20 people doing it. That's 1,040. And just think what we're doing. It's the most important thing that we can ever do. It really is. What, y'all have anything to say or share or think, any comments?
Well, I want to go back to your beginning statements about when you share Jesus.
Do what?
When you share Jesus, you've been successful. And I read something sometime back. And to your point about only the Holy Spirit can do something, people have a fear of failure in whatever we do. And when you share Jesus, you can't fail.
You always... That's it. When we don't, we fail. And when we... Again, Isaiah chapter 55, it says, my word is going to do what it's supposed to do, and I'm going to see that it does. And Jesus uses a lot of farming-type agricultural parables, and he talked about the farmer would go out and sow seeds. You know, I was raised on a farm, and we didn't know about sowing seeds and whatever, and it's a fun job. But anyway... The more we sow, the more seeds we put out there, larger crop we're going to get. So back to what you said, any time we share God's word, we've had a successful witness experience. And if they make a decision then, that's great. It might be 40 years, like this friend of mine that I shared with you that talked about. We need to just make your prayer list. Do that. Be sure to do that. And be ready for these unexpected airplane bump-ins like he had. That we just, on the telephone, a lot of us talk on the phone a little bit. And you might get into a conversation about the Lord. Or it could be at Walmart, standing in line, or wherever. But just think what we're doing, guys. We're not trying to sell them a farm in Texas. It's something a whole lot better than that. Get to be in heaven. And we can face... We have 9 great-grandchildren... I break out in a sweat thinking about what they've got to grow up, their culture now. It's different than when we grew up, our culture. We could write a book, couldn't we? Yeah. But because he lives, we can face today at the airport. Yeah. Yeah. And my great-grandchildren can get through it because he lives. I trust you guys will think about this witnessing thing one a week. See, we'll find TP, whoever she is. And just give them your name. And try to witness to it at least one person a week for the next year. It'd be 52 people that you've contacted. If we could get a whole bunch of folks doing it, just think what we just read from Revelations, what we are doing, guys. You can't improve on it. You cannot improve on it. What we're doing, it's a grandest thing. If we can keep one, just again, if we could just keep one person from going to hell, just think. That's something, wouldn't it? Oh, it is. And that's what we're doing. We want to help people. Thank you for listening to me on my stories, and I've enjoyed being here. I've really enjoyed being at the church here. I enjoy the spirit here very much. Wednesday night is a special night, I think, for the prayer time. You come in, the lights are low, and people are praying. You don't find that many places. It's a special place. We are blessed for this church to have this, the Spirit. And then on Sunday mornings, it's a Cadillac service every time. It's just special. But thank you for listening to me, and for, again, if we just have one person, it'd be all worth the whole thing. Thank you for being here and what you're going to do, what's going to take place. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. It's really something to come into your throne room. I can't get over it. The creator of the universe, and here I am talking to the creator of the universe. My. It's just hard for my little mind to take in. But you tell us to come boldly into your throne room and eat an oatmeal cookie with you. Ooh, I'd love that. Thank you for your love and how much you care for each one of us, and what you're going to do as a result of us going out and sharing your love with somebody else. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Well, have a good week.